to order. It's the second monthly meeting of the Port of Port Townsend. Start off with Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
First order of business is to approve the agenda, but I know I have some additions, and I think, Larry, you had one too, didn't you?
I've got one. I sent you an email saying that I recommend we add this. This is on the stairway at Port Warden that goes down the bluff to our beach. So we can talk about them, but it'd be under new business, stairway at Port Warden.
Okay. So that'll be item C under new business. The additions I'd like to add are under old business, item B, Quilcene Beach modifications at Herbeck Marina. And old business item C is a celebration for the Kai Tai Lagoon Agreement, which I don't know if everybody's on board with what's going on there, but we think we might be able to sign the final agreement to trade the Kai Tai Lagoon for the city properties and concessions at the Boat Haven Marina next week.
There may be a 10-day escrow period, so it might...
Well, we'll adjust as necessary.
But certainly, it's here.
Mm-hmm. Any further additions to the agenda? Then I move that the agenda be approved as amended.
I second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Then we come to item three, the consent agenda, which is the meeting and workshop minutes.
Yeah, I move we approve the consent agenda as
presented. I second it.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. And then item four, public comments not related to the current agenda.
Oh, is that me?
That's you.
Some time ago, I called you on the phone about an item I wanted to get onto the agenda relative to fees and disability access and fees specifically for mortgage. Can I address that at this time?
Yes.
Okay. I brought along some business cards, and Leif, I sent you an email about the specifics of things you asked about, where in the country people had fee breaks for mooring boats and for launching boats, and you have that in your email box. But the bottom line was that I didn't hear from you, so I decided to just come down, put it on the table, and say specifically what I wanted, who it addressed, and so 3 minutes or less. What I'd like to see is a 30-50% break in the boat launch fees for people like myself or aging in place, particularly if they live in the city because they already pay $53 a year in taxes to the port on their homes. And I've been using the AB doc now for several years as part of a project you can find on this YouTube clips on this card, and they really do address people like myself coming and going and what we do with the AB doc and with our boats. And I think it would be a big benefit to the port and the city to see that type of footage on the YouTube site with somebody like myself who's been behind the lens for 40 years and is getting into a position where we really do have a lot of opportunity to put a positive view about how the city, the state, and the county deal with people who ask specifically for a fee break. The blue spot, which I'm parked in, isn't just for cars. It could easily be on the long dock somewhere where I can swing a 50-footer in and not be squinched into out on the end of AB dock where we always have to be so careful that sometimes I don't get the boat. But I'd like to see some forward motion with this. I'd like to see some fee breaks like the ones I sent you in the email, And specifically, because I haven't paid my launch fee this year, I'd like to see the launch fee for people like myself in the city or with a disability or older for the boat launch fee. It would be a nice thing for the port to have on their bottom list of things that they do for folks that ask for an exception.
So, Michael, after you contacted me regarding this issue, I distributed that email to the other commissioners and to the staff, and we discussed it at the next meeting.
Did you?
Yes. So the discussion was part of the record. It's on the record. And I think that we can take that discussion and review it. And then it's nice to have some specific requests from you as to what you had in mind. And we'll add that to it and we'll put it on the agenda for another. So I think your
sure.
visit here is a good idea.
Well, it's timely. It's summer. It's fun.
Well, it's also timely because we'll be starting our 2014 budget development here next month. So this could be where we talk about rates and fees, not just from Lawrence, but everything. So it's a good time to discuss it.
When you look at the $50 and you start to multiply it out by 100 and then 1,000 and then 5,000 people, you start to come up with a really large number in the city who pay a $50 fee. And I'm just saying that, you know, Jack Westerman will look at a request for a 30% break in the assessment on a house. And so I think it'd be nice if the port did the same.
We'd have to do a county-wide, though, because we're a county-wide district.
Oh, sure. Right. Yeah, I understand.
And we may want legal to take a look at, you know, can we do this sort of thing? Or?
Well, it's already part of the agenda for some state marinas. And so it's kind of an easy go. Not going to lose that much money on it. How many one-armed or paraplegic or quadriplegic boaters are there?
Well, how many old guys are to have boats here? Right?
Yeah, how many old guys are still coming into the marina?
Yeah, 80% of the people are coming
demographically that we're going to go broke.
Yeah, this is an old guy community. No, we can't break too hard.
I don't think you'll have to break too hard. You do the numbers out there and you'll see there's not that many people like me anyway. So there you go, that's it.
Well, if you include seniors, that it gets...
Oh, I think if they want to and they ask for it, you know, it's just a question of whether you give it to them or not. You can lay an application out there and you'd be surprised how few people will bite on it, you know. I would. Especially if there's a blue spot on the long dock, I'd be all over that.
So my suggestion is that we review the current information that we have on this. Combine that with today's information and put it on the agenda at a future date for discussion.
Yeah, I think so too. But just so I'm clear, when you talk about blue spot, you're talking about handicapped parking blue spot, right?
I use the handicapped parking spot because I have advanced things that are happening in my body. Yeah, so.
But when you say blue spot, that's what you're referring to. And so are you suggesting then having handicapped access slips that are only available for handicapped voters?
I think if they come into the port, you know, with a 75-footer like the Hummer or something like that, and there's a pre-designated area that they can ask for, it would be a big help.
But not one that's exclusively like a blue spot in front of a restaurant now. If I park there, I get a ticket. So you're not suggesting something like that for Morrington, are you?
I'm saying preference, the opportunity.
When we built a B-dock and also
indicated...
When we build a B-dock in Point Hudson as well, in the state law, if you either do a new facility like we did with a B-dock in Point Hudson, or even a large renovation, I think it was 2003, they added an ADA clause that we have to make not the entire facility ADA compliant, but a portion of the docks have to be accessible by ADA. And if you get out of Point Hudson and also our new gangway, it's all ADA accessible. Now, at extreme low tide, you know, they put a cap on it because you'd have a 300-foot gangway to meet the glide slope, so they cap it at 80 feet. But we've done that, and you know, certainly can be looked at some more. We've met the state requirement already.
Thank you.
No, I'm sorry. And so you're looking then for a discount on mortgage rates or on mortgage rates or at launch fees or or both, or, but you're not looking for a designated blue spot mooring. In other words, it excludes other boats.
I'm just broad brushing it. I came to ask for the cut in the trailer dump fee for the camper. But I use AB Duck enough to know that even outfits like Kenmore Air have a special ramp when they hear I'm coming through Seattle or whatever. They roll it out, so if I want to scramble up the stairs, I can. But if they don't want to take a risk, they'll put that ramp out for me or anybody else. And down I come right off the floatplane. AB Duck with a higher clearance vessel, I use a two-step stair, but I can still swing a board. It's hard on my shoulder joint. You know, the two-step, if it was on rollers or whatever, if it was out there and it was near part of the long dock of the AB dock that faces the fuel dock, it would make a big difference for people that wanted to come in and tie up.
Okay, so now, just so that I'm clear again, I might be really dense today. We're looking for some fee breaks on launch fees, but you're also looking for a roller launching and disembarking ramp or something, is that it?
In a longer term sense, I'll provide some designs for you if that comes up. But
okay,
fee
well,
breaks are the key thing. They really make a huge difference.
I guess if we're going to discuss this at a future meeting, we really need to know the whole extent of what it is we're going to be discussing, you know, like blue spot moorings or fee breaks or wheeled access ramps. And so perhaps if you could provide us with, you know, whatever you've seen other places that have worked well that you think, let us know that, so then we won't be just trying to guess, you know, what it is we're going to be looking at.
I helped build the federal internet in Washington, D.C., and I can use these screens to show you actual ergonomic use of a stair by a person like me walking up and getting on a boat. I'm talking about just fees tonight. Fees for cut and the launching ramp fee, and if I bring a larger boat in here, a fee break for it being moored along the AB dock.
Okay, so the only thing we wanted to be discussing are fees, correct?
Tonight, that's it. Yeah, I'll give you a longer synopsis of something I could do for you. But, you know, those are the things that I'm more interested in. They actually show some more motion fees.
Okay.
Very well. Thank you, Michael.
Thank you.
Five, old business. Change order for the boat ramp washdown area.
Is that the bill that just came in?
Yeah, he's in his house.
I mentioned a few meetings ago that you know, we've been looking at the boat ramp washdown area. You know, it's rather eroded, the asphalt, the water pools up, boat beds are quite old, etc. We have an opportunity with the contractor on site to redo that whole site, dig up the asphalt, put in concrete, etc. And Bill and Mark are here tonight to with some drawings to show you. We don't really have to make a decision tonight. Steve and I were talking earlier today. This was a fairly expensive project, about $124,000. And but if we do go forward with it, we need to make a decision, and maybe at the next meeting, so that the contractor has time to do it. And it'll be somewhat disruptive of the boat ramp use, because obviously once you pour the cement, you're going to have to let it cure and that sort of thing. So we're looking at things like directing boaters down to the washdown pad at the heavy haul-out to wash down their trailers. Already talked to Doug about the creating another parking area, you know, down in that area, now they're slowing down in the shipyard, et cetera. So my recommendation, although in the agenda I recommended that we move ahead with it, I would say tonight let's make sure we understand what the project is, why it's $124,000, and then table until the next meeting. That's okay with everybody.
Let's discuss.
We may need to gather around.
Yeah, or I can come over and gather around here, whatever we want to
go. Let's
gather
you're over all spread
here.
Out.
Okay, I got it spread out here. Okay, so what we got now is there's the existing catch basin, there's the existing catch basin. They come in here and they set up right here and wash. here now is all eroded and the asphalt's gone because of the oils. You watch below the motors, the oils, the, you know, the salts and everything. Salts. So I shot some grades, and really the only way to make this work, because we can't raise this, we got this slope coming down here. Now we got the curb and we got the new building here, elevations that are set. So if we take and put a concrete pad starting right here at about that much higher than the existing ground, that means we cut all this down, which then brings us back to grade of the road here, so that all flows good. And then we have a little curb that goes along here to keep water from the fuel pad area. And then we have it sloped four ways for the catch basin. So one guy sits here and washes. We have it sloped four ways, high spot here. A guy sits here and washes. We redo all this water that's out there in the salt and everything else to get horrendous in the valves. We move that over into this landscape area with new hubs here and for the boat guys.
Mm-hmm.
And then I pipe these catch basins, I pipe all this down and I carry it into this existing catch basin. So now all that oil, all that stuff is not, we put a oil water separator in here in the last one, and then it all comes down into this existing catch basin. And our width is such that we made it to where none of this stuff should get out into this new asphalt here.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And so I have to drop this whole thing about a foot or a little more than a foot in here to take that big roll in it. And then in disjunction with that, that means changing this old asphalt there too. I'll drop that. We'll just make a whole new grade. Everything will flow down to here. And I think part of the change we had in there too was replacing the rest of this tore up asphalt. And it was actually, when we've been digging around there, we're 4 to 5 inches in there. And we talked about, we came up with a price of 4 inches, and we talked about going to 3. And I think 3 is going to be plenty sufficient. Also in this was originally designed at 2 inches.
And when you say 2 and 3 inches, you're talking about asphalt
thickness? Yeah, asphalt thickness.
Okay.
This was originally designed at 2 inches. When we put this piece back in that we paved, we put that back in at 4. Okay, because when we took it out, it ended up being 4 there. That was something we didn't know until we started. So we put all this back in at 4 inches, everything around here. The reason we're thinking about going 3 instead of the 2, adding another inch, is that big truck and trailer fuel truck comes.
Right.
And we're afraid at 2 inches,
you know,
it's rutted up and beat it up, and then that's going to be the parking area and the scoop thing and everything.
So I should now have the scoop and
laundry truck that's coming here. So we thought an inch, so we added back the cost of that inch in there. What else was in there, Mark? I think part of that change too was some stuff that we already did was for the pave back of that thing over here where the fuel tank
where we have the leaking
for the leak.
That's in this cost also.
We've already done it. Yeah, but that's in this cost also. There were some other things we added there too.
This here where the
it wasn't just this.
This area here, which was not in there, we decided that to out of convenience and them being such good neighbors, the Skookum folks. Their parking area needed to be enhanced there. There's a lady that comes in there every day that has a handicap, and she was having a hard time negotiating that. So we, instead of just doing a 5-foot-wide walkway there, we just did this whole area as concrete to make it easier for her to be able to get in and out of that space because she uses that every day. It dropped off. It was really steep.
She could barely get through it. You know,
the problem that we had over here with the fuel leak was when we pulled the cap off, it was supposed to be a dry vault that's full of water.
Right.
Because again, the grading, everything was sloped towards the vault. So Bill raised it up. We poured the.
So including the repairs on the fuel leak and the enhancement of Skookum's handicapped access,
and
are we talking about $10,000 worth of work for those two things?
More than that, I think. Have you got that page? I want to say.
It's line up.
We haven't paid for that digging up of the thing yet?
Well, paid for the digging up, not for the repaving around it to crown the.
We did it when Lakeside was there, because.
We haven't paid for it before.
You've done it.
We paid for the fixing the leak. That's all done. That was separate. But when Bill came back in to crown it, so it drained away from it, that's part of it.
So there was about $3,000 in the change for the patch back of the asphalt. Pacific Environmental, that's Bill's work, and then that's the Lakeside part of that was.
Was that there, so part two?
There was about $2,000 there, and then
the enhancement of the handicap.
About $1,100.
So now, that's
another. Yes, it is. I guess I'm not clear. We're going to put concrete there. Is that it? Or
it's there.
It's there.
We did it. We just saw it.
Yeah, they poured cement there.
And so this is asphalt and this is concrete. Right?
No, it's all concrete.
The rest is already concrete.
This was going to be concrete. That was like no man's land with grass and weeds.
Oh, in other words, this was going to just be nothing?
Yeah. It didn't work. Especially seeing her trip around. I could just see a lot of yelling.
So yeah. Skookum put on a little play for these contractors because they knew they were going to
Maybe that's what it was.
It was a laundry for a week.
Yeah.
And so that this is also wider than.
Oh, right. This is, I think it called for
17
feet. And as we watched, we're working there, we watched the boats come in and where they're going. And it really looked like 22 feet was the width that made sense.
Oh, okay.
So that's what we figured. All this was based on 20 to 22 instead of 17.
So when the boats come in, they don't go right up against the fence. Right. They leave themselves some room so that they can get around their boats and wash them.
Yeah, we'll be lucky if they don't, for the most part, park right there.
Yeah, the way I had envisioned this was to have one boat trailer come up here, and because they're going to take up this much space.
Right.
The rig's up here, and the trailer's back here, so they'll be here.
Yeah.
And since the other one is so far back, I was envisioning the other one coming in going like this. So the ass end, the rear end of his boat is going to be hanging over the something. And
yeah, we talked about that too. What did we talk about?
Part of the problem with our inconvenience was because of the scooter vehicle that's there and needing to get in and out on a daily basis, and the other was because of the fuel truck. There'd be periods of time where that would be blocked, and it might create some conflict that way.
And I think they could still do that because we'll put the new washout thing right here.
Right.
The hose. If they want to come in that way, and no one's there,
I'm sure
they will. I mean, they're going to do it.
Yeah, they're going to do it no matter what.
You may sign it all you want. You're going to go where you're going to go.
But with that in mind, does this thing slope away down this way
here? Okay, so if it's 22 foot long with that, this does slope away.
So in other words, if they come over and rinse their trailer wheels, which will be here, the water's going to run down there, correct? Right.
And eventually get into the rain garden.
Unless we purify it before it goes into the storm.
Well, if that's 22 feet wide,
they should have
wheels are going to be in there.
They're going to be here. Yeah, they could. So they could go either way. Their truck would be here.
Right.
Their trailer would be here. So most everything.
But again, that's a rain garden.
Yeah.
So anything that flows that way.
It's going to go that way. Yeah. And this will be paved. So yeah. But what we don't want to do, that was the idea of the concrete. We don't want abortion on pavement.
Right.
Because you get that oil and it can heat it up again. Okay. And we don't want to do that.
Oh, we don't want to run motors on.
Right, which they won't, because if they come this way, their motor should be here on the concrete. It would all go there.
Right. It would work either way.
It would work either way, I think. I think they could come this way, and if they don't feel they want to go that way, they could come that way.
You know, at some point, we're going to have to do something about this, because it's just going to further erode season after season. And,
well, and also it's a proactive step in raining and storm.
If we came back 2 years from now, had to mobilize, we'd easily add another 20,000, 25,000 there.
And the way asphalt prices are going, who knows what that's going to be. Now, that's the problem.
If you approve this at the next meeting, then this money would come out of the Boat Haven Reserve Fund. This is not to do with the building. This is all to do with the boat ramp and the marina. So,
it would probably behoove the commission to take a look at the Boat Haven Reserve
And so how much is the total cap for this?
What is it, Mark?
$124.
$124. That was with tax. That's fully everything.
And then everything will be paid for. We won't have any.
Oh, yeah.
No, that'll take care of all that. Did you have one? Was there one other thing on that change? I can't remember what it was. Parking. You've got the utility move in there, and as part of your number, getting those valves out of that area is going to become a liability if that doesn't happen soon.
Right.
They're getting the salt water.
Well, the salt's getting into them valves.
Talking about the valves.
The shut-off valves.
Most good valves.
Yeah. One of which is the shut-off for the water supply.
Right. See, that's where the water supply for new buildings come from. So it really behooves to get that out of that thing and over it.
Yeah, into
here.
Location.
Safe spot. So
okay.
That's what it all entails. And that takes it out and reties everything into here and just gets everything back.
Yeah.
Looking like a groove there.
So you still want to wait, Steve, or do you want to?
Well, yeah, I'm comfortable, but like I said, we kind of got beat up by the PSAC committee for moving so quickly on the building without letting anybody come in here and give us their 2 cents. And I'm not sure how these people hear about it, but I take it to heart. You know,
We talked about this back in one of our April meetings. Sue and I went back and checked on it, so it's not the first time it's come up.
Oh, the
Doing this project,
yeah. No, I think we should definitely wait until the next meeting because we need to look at the Boathaven contingency.
Right.
And also have a little discussion on that and where that's going, because off the top of my head, I can't tell you how much.
Okay, we'll do a little report on that.
That
would be beautiful.
Yeah, Amy, what's in the Boathaven reserve
fund? There's about 900,000. Some of the small change orders that we've already done have come out of there. So
right.
Just over 900,000.
New curb over by
you. Do a little one pager for the commissioners.
Yes.
It'd be nice to get that project finished all at one time.
Yeah. Oh, I agree.
Everybody's here and got the machines here.
I love that 900. 400 is going to Ryan.
Yeah. See, that's the
correct. Correct.
So now we're down to 500 of uncommitted funds.
500 on it coming.
Yeah. But we'll do a little sheet. You know, we've got this much. We expect to still pay this much out to XYZ project.
Exactly.
This amount. So.
Thank you.
Email it to me.
That would be great.
We started taking the tax. We could put our the raise in the colonial fund.
But
so
thanks, guys.
Thanks, you guys.
Thank you.
Old business item B is Herbeck Marina.
Yep.
Down at the beach at the Herbeck Marina, and I'm sorry I don't have photos and diagrams for you guys, but you're just going to have to put this in your mind's eye. In between the beach access and the beach itself, there's a spring, a natural occurring spring that runs down there. And it's formed a huge pool of water because that beach in the wintertime goes through many changes. Basically, what's happened is the whole beach has moved up and been dumped right in front of the access. So between that big berm that was dumped there by the wave action in the wintertime and the access, there's now a pool about the size of a home-sized swimming pool in there that's fed by this naturally occurring spring. And Jim, I know you talked to him down there prior to the opening of the beach this year.
I talked to Reeves to see if he could get down there.
And that fell completely apart. You left town and he didn't. He left a finger. And so my take on it is I watched television and I watched what happened to the commissioner down in South Sound when he moved the log on his beach. And I'm leery of doing any work on the beach. But they want, you know, their simple answer is, can't you just get a backhoe down here and dig the beach up and, maybe drop an echo block or two in there, and then the stream wouldn't be bothering us any longer. But that's why I'm bringing it up at a meeting, because it's a beach. And anytime you drive a backhoe onto a beach, I think that you're probably
looking for trouble.
In Doug's defense, if I could, because we didn't talk before I left, he called Fish and Wildlife, and they said over their dead body.
Well, good for him.
So Doug said, I'm not going on that beach because that's my license. So what I'm trying to do is get a shovel brigade there. Because if you notice, somebody actually took a shovel and actually did a little drainage ditch there. I was just down there last week.
Yeah, it was like the cavemen. They did it with sticks.
And I think that if we just got 8 or 9 shovels down there and just dig a canal to dump it out.
Is that even legal?
I think that would be okay. I just don't think a backhoe on the beach is going to be okay.
It's one of those things, you know, if you ask for permission, you probably won't get it.
Right.
The other thing we can do is we can go to Fish and Wildlife, apply for an HPA. It may take us 3 or 4 months to get one, but we can do that legally.
By that time the summer's gone, and then we have the same thing happen to us next year. Could we get a continuing permit?
They have issued continuing permits. I can certainly check. We have a very good friend in Fish and Wildlife.
Yeah, she's a good lady down there now.
So, I think we ought to approach it from both ends, really. I think we should apply for a continuing permit to work on the beach down there so that we don't get in trouble. And then the guy that I talked to is the guy that runs the campground down there, Clayton White. And I could talk to Clayton and see if he would be interested in organizing a bucket brigade to do the work down there, and then probably put him in touch with you. And that would satisfy their angst for the time being, I think. But if we were to apply for a permit, we wouldn't get it this summer.
You could. I'll talk to Margie tomorrow and see if she can issue it quickly. Tell her what's going on.
Tell her it's the other thing we might be able to tell her, that stream, as small as it is still a critical salmon stream. When we
could we get Fish and Wildlife to do it?
Well, when we, it should be free-flowing, in my mind, out to the bay.
Without a doubt.
And I remember when we had to repair the culvert that goes over the stream, over to Canterbury's property.
Uh-huh.
We had a heck of a time, you know, just getting that project done. But finally did it. And maybe we can press that angle.
Let's work on that.
Yeah.
Okay, can you let me know as soon as there's any movement on that so that I can report it down to Quilson?
The stream we're talking about is less wide than the stable.
It's tiny, but it dumps a fair amount of water.
Well, in the wintertime, it really flows.
Yeah. All right, that should put that to rest for now. Then old business item C is celebration of the Kaitai Agreement. The Kaitai Agreement is coming to fruition soon.
We got a letter from the RCO. In fact, I need to send it over to Carolyn because we got to stay on our lawsuit, I think, till the end of July for an extension. And we've been waiting on RCO and the National Park Service to finish reviewing all the documents and get them back to the city and to us. Well, they just did that. The city attorney's been on vacation. He was due back today. So we're getting with him and make sure the documents say what we expected them to say. And then we've got to go into escrow, and that's where there may be a 10-day delay before we can actually close on the deal. But we're certainly, hopefully within a couple of weeks, I'd say, of getting this thing finally wrapped up. It was, the anniversary was the 12th of June, so it's over a year since you had that joint meeting with the city and everything. And you said, let's knock this out in a month. So they want to party hard?
There's been people that have requested that we do celebrate it because they consider it a fairly significant success.
Well, who's...
I'd be one of those people.
I withdraw the question.
I figured I'd talk to David King about it and see what he had to say. I'll do so and let you know what the outcome is.
I'd be interested to pay for.
I'd be interested in finding out how much the earth muffins cost the port.
In what regard, Dave?
All the legal folder all over the contract.
Oh.
And how much the earth muffins cost the city, and how much they cost the state, and how much they cost the Fed.
Well, there's also the reverse of that is how much good they do for the environment and secure our future for our children.
You're absolutely right. We do have to consider.
I think we should get all about that and just have a big party. Everybody slap each other on the back and have fun.
Then we move on to new business. Rates for City Dock and Union Wharf.
While we were waiting, as you know, waiting for the RCO to get back to us, we went ahead and did a separate agreement with the city so we could start operating City Dock and Wharf. We had the cruise ship that came in for those 4 or 5 visits. And but we need to establish some rules and some rates because we got the floats down there and boats are starting to tie up to it. And of course, with our agreement, the city doesn't monitor it. So we just need to start doing it. It's page 2 of the items. Gets what staff thinks would be a good starting point for rates. And, you know, both the 3-hour temp tie, so somebody could put in, go to lunch, do a little shopping, and go back out again, and then a daily rate.
Now, isn't the temp tie 4 hours in the either of our marinas here?
We can do 4-hour temp.
I think it might be confusing if somebody says, I need a temp tie, and then they think they have 4, but they only have 3, and they come back and find a ticket or something.
But we're going to sign this pretty well.
Mm-hmm.
We can do 4 if you
want. We just don't want somebody
parking there
all day long.
We did make a change. I originally proposed to 30 feet, and Tammy told me that the break here is at 35 feet. So we made that consistent anyway. We've got a $5, $10 temp tie here. So, and then because it's going to be an Iron Ranger type arrangement, I wanted to make it simple. So I didn't want to do a per foot rate. To say, you know, if you're under 35 feet, it's $25. So they can put that in their slot.
And Ozzy's aware of this. He'll get a couple Iron Rangers put together and put it right at the head of the gangway. So, but let's always start gathering some funds. And of course, just like we did with the cruise ship fee that we charged them, this money will go into at some point a separate account. For the future maintenance of those two facilities.
So what have we got? We've got 2 docks, right?
Each one has a set of floating docks.
Right, and the gangway. There's how much linear space on boats?
Union Wharf is about 180 feet at City Docks.
That's quite a bit of space, really.
I mean, the float?
And the Ventress. I see the Ventress tied up at City Dock. You know, and it covers the full length of the Ventress. That's 103, not counting the spar. So, so you want to take that up to 4 hours then for the temp tie, and everybody good with that? Or he says we'll get something. If it doesn't work, we can always come back and change it. But
yeah, I think this sounds like a good starting point.
Yeah, I agree with the raise in fees.
There may be some pushback, just, you know, the city didn't charge. So a lot of these people tied up there for 3 or 4 days, no charge. So just so you're aware, there could be some pushback from people who are used to it.
Somebody might call you saying, well, last year I didn't pay anything.
Well, the docks have changed ownership.
Yeah. And RCO allows this if you're taking the money and putting it back into maintaining the facility.
Right.
Now, do we have to do any work to those floats before we put them in? Or they
we didn't this year. We really need to next year when we pull them out.
Now, we still have to do some work to Union Wharf and rewiring some of the...
Most of it's been done.
Yeah.
Our electrician's done it. We're installing 2 new cleats for the cruise ship.
Mm-hmm.
So those will be installed by maintenance. We actually stole these huge cleats from City Dock, about this big. Took 2 of them off City Dock.
After we got it?
Yep.
Because I didn't realize it was City Dock that I walked that a month or two ago. As you're walking out on the right-hand side, you've got the large cleats for large ships, mm-hmm. and all the outside pilings have all been have the rubber bumpers like the State Ferry does, mm-hmm. and there's a gate there. So that even was built for a large ship more up against it.
Which one?
City Dock. Go further, the one closer to the Maritime Center.
Huh? Oh, is it deep enough there?
No.
That's you could probably put a
long rowing shell.
Yeah, you could do a 80 footer all the way out in the end, but
you'll shallow at the bow, and some of them are shallow and
deep. Yeah, you'd have to be aimed the right direction.
So when we talked to the cops about the vandalism down there at the docks earlier on, I thought they were going to help us out with the video cameras.
They did.
Oh, they put one down there?
Yeah, we wired it up for them.
It's a temporary one, very expensive temporary one they put up. I believe they took it down this week because the cruise ship's not there now.
Oh.
And then I priced out our own video cameras, which I think are way too expensive. Staff's going to recommend that we just kind of keep a tab on the docks without video right now.
Well, where does the responsibility of the Port Townsend Police Department start and end, and where does the responsibility of the Port of Port Townsend start and end regarding security in this town? I mean, since we own it, do we become the police force also?
We have no, from what Officer Greenspan said, we have no security requirements. That is a city issue.
Just right.
Especially what happened to the cruise ship. That's something the city needs to...
So I have a hard time... justifying the expense of providing security when it's a city issue.
The cameras were more for to alert staff that somebody's tied up.
Oh.
Because we've got staff in both offices who can't see that dock.
Oh.
But we have, in the summertime, we have a rover that goes between Point Hudson and Boat Haven two or three times a day.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just going to have that rover stop in to each dock on their way to Point Hudson and back.
A rover. Somebody driving around.
Well, it's somebody who breaks, you know, a lunch break here, come right. over here and work for the lunch break, then go to Point Hudson and break. So instead of having two people in every office, you have three people total that go back.
And then at night we've got Pete who does security and goes back and forth. So if somebody were to come in at 8 o'clock at night and die up there, on a Saturday, you know, Pete could check on them.
The initial numbers I got for cameras were over $5,000, and we won't lose that much mortgage in a long time, so
just, right.
it doesn't make sense this time.
Yeah, but it's in addition to mortgage, it's also a security for vandalism and things like that.
Well, then why doesn't the city pay for it?
Because then we wouldn't lose it for mortgage.
It's something we can do at a later time. It's not a problem.
Well, I'd recommend that we change this to 4 hours and try it out.
Mm-hmm. My 3 o'clock in the morning meeting with myself woke up to Wooden Boat Fest, and we're going to have to figure out what these are very heavily used docks during Wooden Boat Fest. So we don't need to work on that now, but we're going to have some kind of a policy for nonprofit use. So we'll deal with that in a couple months.
Well, we have free launch ramp during derbies.
The bigger problem is the cruise ship comes back, and their first visit is during the Wind Boat Festival.
But it's Wednesday, Thursday, so it's okay.
Yeah, but there's still going to be 100 boats anchored off the waterfront out here. And
well, we'll have to send our rover down there now.
And yell at them or something.
The next item under new business would be...
Right, we need a motion on the...
A motion on the rate schedule?
We approve the rates as amended.
And suggest that the signage be prepared and installed.
And the Iron Rangers.
To that effect.
All in... Or, second. All in favor?
Aye.
The next item on there, I'm just going to move it ahead of approval of warrants, is a stairway at Fort Ward.
Steve came in a week ago. You had been at your Friends of Fort Warden meeting. And
Fort Warden Advisory Committee.
Yes, Fort Warden Advisory Committee. And the state is looking at doing some repairs to the stairway going down the bluff, down to our beach.
It's actually not the stairs, it's the bulkhead at the base.
At the bulkhead, okay. And that got me thinking, because Steve asked, you know, do we own those stairs, so maintaining them? You know, since I've been here, never done anything to them. So I went back into the archives and found a permit that was granted back on the first day of May, 1958, where the port granted to the state of Washington. Then it wasn't the state parks, it was the Department of Institutions for Warden Diagnostic and Treatment Center. And we gave them a permit to construct and use a stairway down and along waterfront property owned by the Port of Port Towns and adjacent to the Fort Warden Institution. This permit shall be in force and effect until such time as the Port of Port Towns and develops the waterfront for port purposes. And and that's all that was in the records about the stairway. So that got me thinking, and I contacted Carolyn, and we got a memo back from Seth. I don't know if you saw that. Essentially stating that, you know, they have the right, since we gave them the permit, and the permit essentially goes on forever until we, you know, need to develop it for other purposes, that they should do the repairs and be the responsible party. And my bigger concern is the liability issue. You know, if somebody takes a header down 100 steps, you know, onto our beach, we want the port to be liable. So I think, and we can work with our legal folks to develop a new agreement for the state parks to sign, since that was signed by the Diagnostic Center back in the 50s. And there is a new state state parks ranger over there now. And I doubt if he understands all the history of, you know, that the port still owns the beach. And that sort of thing. And so what I'd like to do is go over and meet him, talk to him about this, and then craft a new agreement for us to sign and for state parks to sign, where it's very clear that they're responsible for the stairs, the maintenance, any legal liability that comes out of those stairs. So,
and those stairs are used to access our beach.
Right. Yeah, they go right down to our beach.
Well, it sounds like that's what existing agreement is.
Right. But I'd feel better if it was signed by state parks rather than an institution that no longer exists.
Yeah.
Even though state parks took over the facility.
And the stairs actually originate at the park. In other words, they don't originate on the city. I was up there looking for them in the right spot. They don't take off the state park property. So they start at the park and end at the beach. So. Really, it's the park. In other words, if they'd been farther up, it could have been something the city would have done, but it's in the park property.
I don't think I need a motion tonight. Just
just proceed ahead and see what
happens. Yeah, as long as you're all okay with that plan. And you know, once we get something put together, and I've talked to the ranger over there, and I'm sure he'll have to contact his folks down in Olympia. It's not going to be something he'll sign.
It'd be nice if it was something like this, though.
Yeah.
Where they assume.
I'm sure, you know, it's 1958. I'm sure once all the attorneys get a hold of it, it'll be several pages. Did she hear that?
Thank you for the compliment.
Yeah.
The weight of evidence.
It'll be a better document.
So. It'll sure be more expensive, that's for sure. Approval of warrants.
The warrants we have, an electronic debit in the amount of $8,810.59 for Department of Revenue. Warrant number 51255 through 51268 in the amount of $20,566.26 for payroll. Warrants 51269 through 51273 in the amount of $44,044.96 payroll benefits. And warrants 51274 through 51332 in the amount of $472,871.11 for accounts payable. I move the warrants be approved as read.
And that big one, about half of that is Orion for the emergency.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
That brings us to staff comments.
Any comments on that side?
Yes. Well, Jim, first of all, he showed you that on our website, we now have audio minutes. You can look up audio minutes as far back as July of 2010 when we started recording the meetings. So on our website, we have audio minutes of commission meetings. Also, I don't know if I should talk about this in the commission meeting, but I contacted Jefferson County Public Health today about our beach, our Point Hudson Beach, because a guy came up to us today and wondered if he could dig for clams on the beach. And we weren't totally sure, so Larry looked it up and he found that it's closed permanently for shellfish harvesting. And we were thinking that a lot of times we see people gathering seaweed out there. And a couple of years ago, I talked to a woman, and she said they were taking it to their restaurant in Tacoma. So I called the Department of Health, and they said that's probably not a good idea for them to harvest seaweed when shellfish is closed. So I called the guy at Jefferson County Health, and he's on vacation, but I thought it would be a good idea if we had a sign on the beach, because there's a lot of people that probably think about harvesting shellfish and seaweed.
Is there a game rules of where shellfish can be harvested?
Yeah, it's actually a pretty good site. You can do it by county. If you call up Jefferson County, it's got probably 50 different beaches listed, and it has one for Point Hudson. And I clicked on it, came up with a map showing the area that was closed, which was essentially from the city waterfront all the way over to Fort Warren. But also had a statement, clams, mussels, and oysters are not fit for human consumption and closed permanently.
Due to pollution.
Now, it should be noted.
And the main reason is because there's a marina nearby. Mm-hmm. They went around, technically, this is something really Fish and Wildlife has to answer. The beaches out here are technically closed because there's a marina here. Even though the water may be clean, it's the potential of pollution because you got boaters. And the same down in Coolsing. So.
All right, for years I've been digging horse clams. Beach right there. No, there. The one that at the mouth of the marina. And there used to be a sign in our kiosk, a big red sign that said, and I called everyone I could think of, and no one would take credit for having them close enough. But then I discovered there's several agencies that close beaches. The one that closed these beaches is the Department of Health, and they didn't close them because of monitoring. They closed them because they can't monitor them, and because they're, like Larry said, in proximity to something, a potential source of pollution. There's other beach closures that are closed due to monitoring. Those are PSP. Outbreaks and so forth, and those are actually monitored. There's another type of closure that can be closed, and that's Fish and Wildlife seasons. So there's three ways you can get beaches closed, and it's really confusing to the poor guy that's digging clams. I decided to just ignore it 30 years ago, and I've been digging horse clams off of that beach and using most of the clam for crab bait, and using the neck for chowder, and it's delicious. That's what caused my kidney pain.
But you know, when they're harvesting seaweed and taking it to restaurants, it just seems to me that.
Is the port's responsibility to post?
It's the state's responsibility.
Yes, the health department.
The state department of health or the county. We have no authority to close beaches.
Right.
Although I called the health department because because it's such a populated beach during the summertime.
Right, absolutely. Good observation, Sue. Mm-hmm.
And lastly, the July 10th meeting packets won't be out until Monday, July 8th, instead of the Friday prior.
Because you're on vacation?
Yes.
Good.
Jim?
Orion continues to do a great job in the commercial basin.
And we're learning an awful lot about how we can tackle CDDOT. So they're on schedule. The pile driver will be in, actually picking Quincy Street dock up on the 15th. We're going to bring it in the marina. We're going to pull it out at the 300 ton, and they're going to demo in the yard.
Oh.
Street dock. And the pile driver will be in the commercial basin here on the 16th and 17th. We've made arrangements with the Coast Guard to relocate for those 2 days.
You know, I noticed one thing on the pile rings. They made a rectangular pile ring.
There's a...
And I mean, I would really not like to tie up against a rectangular pile ring.
No, there's another piece that goes on that, and it's about a 2-inch thing with U-bolts to the side of that. So the whole outside will be a U-bolt.
It'll be round.
Yeah. We understand that. That's a pretty sharp corner there.
That looked pretty sharp.
Is it? Just a reminder, mostly for Leaf and I, PDD and RC&D tomorrow.
Right.
I don't know if Bill was made aware of this, but we did get, finally printed it in the Federal Register, June 26, 2013, that the establishment of Class C airspace, Port Townsend, Washington. So we are now GPS navigable.
Well, it's
effective, where is it?
August 22nd.
August 22nd, so if you want a copy of this, Bill, you can have it.
Yeah, that'd be great.
I've got a port director seminar. They do it every July. It's coming up the week after the 4th, the 10th, 11th, and 12th.
Don't we have a commission?
Every other month, or every other year.
Oh.
I think we had one last year, didn't you?
Yeah.
So it'll be the next year. It's going to be down in Tacoma. They asked me to do a part of the seminar on our legal issues we had with the admin building. And so I called Carolyn, and we're going to do a tag team. We're all set up the project, you know, how we went out for bid.
Oh, right, right.
How we got the bids in, and why we, why, you know, I came to you with a recommendation
that
we declare them non-responsive and all that. And then Carolyn will go through, since we went to Superior Court with it, all the legal aspects of it. So it should be a pretty good session. I think the other ports will gain some pretty good knowledge, so. We'll be doing that, and that's it.
If that wraps up staff comments, then we're on to public comments. Gwendolyn.
Could be a comment out of ignorance, but I presume that within the marinas there's some sort of contractual agreement about liability. How's that affected at the public docks? Is that a different situation, or...
I didn't hear the question.
Yeah, agreement on what?
The liabilities, the port liabilities versus the personal liabilities of both the type and the marinas.
We don't require insurance on transients, so overnight accommodations. So the point has to be pulled in for 2 days. There is no insurance requirement on bundles. As we do.
That's what I thought, but as we
they do the same.
Yeah, for
it
a night.
Out into the union work, the city dock is there some gray area. I just don't know.
Yeah, it'd be almost impossible to administrate, and you know what the voter will say, well, I've got insurance, but I don't carry the policy with time. So you turn them away, or you let them moor up for the night. And
so vessel registration doesn't require, like,
this is an ongoing issue. I've actually gone out of Olympia twice now to testify the legislature. And it stemmed out of the derelict vessel issue. My feeling, and a lot of other marina operators' feeling, is that boats should be treated just like all. You have to register them, and you have to have a certain amount of liability insurance if you want to use them. And so far, the legislature has been very reluctant to pass that law. You know, the vast majority of boaters have liability insurance. They want their boat covered. But until it's a law, we gotta operate the way it is.
You know, she did bring up a good point, though, and that is when I first became a commissioner, I remember one of the things that you were dealing with was somebody stepped out of a restroom on the little paver that we had so it wouldn't mud puddle, and they twisted their ankle, and we had to pay them $5,000 because that's what our liability limit was. Well, if somebody staggers out of the newly the new surf restaurant after they get it done and bonks his head on the railing, are we going to have a similar liability with that?
Premises liability situations are very fact driven.
Very what driven?
Fact driven.
Yeah.
In terms of what the particular injury is, where it occurred, how it occurred, and if it's on recreational property, often the recreational immunity clause will be raised as a defense, but until the facts are sifted out, it's hard to know for certain. Because sometimes premises liability arises out of a defective design, and that's part of with a restroom, where it's an actual improvement to property, even if it's maybe a public toilet that's available for general public use. Now, if it's just somebody walking on a trail, obviously that's one where one can almost always say there's no liability for the entity that owns or manages that trail, because that's a recreational use that was being made, and therefore there's a immunity for that. So any claim that arises, we'd have to look at the specific facts.
I guess my question was, he chose $5,000 because he didn't want to fight that insurance guy, is because that's where the break was. But that's because we have insurance here. Do we have insurance there too?
Oh, yeah. We're automatically covered, yeah.
Okay, so in other words, our present insurance policy that we've had, it extends down to the new facilities.
Yeah, those are our facilities. Okay.
So the second part of that would be, would that video system be an enhanced fact-finding tool in the event there was some sort of incident?
Mm-hmm. And so did our insurance rates go up when we got two new wharfs?
No. Have we told the insurance?
They're not ours yet. So as soon as the money transfer,
yeah, we have an agreement to operate, although they're technically not ours, so we escrow period and close the deal.
Then on to commissioners' comments.
I got one point.
Oh, go ahead.
Just thinking about Union Wharf and the City Dock. So Clipper has come in, I think, three times in the last 2 years with injuries, and had to offload people to first responders, send them up to the hospital. And twice they've used the Maritime Center, which it doesn't work because of the way the very narrow pier, and then you've got the break down to the floating dock there. Using Union Wharf, like I was just thinking, you piqued my interest in saying there was a gate in the railing there.
Right.
It'd be interesting, and before with the city, like they've called me on my cell saying, we got somebody down, we're coming in, and I said, okay, just grab Maritime Center because I'm right here, and then we did it that way. But now that you've got it at 2828, that'll be really cool. I mean, if they had that number on their dashboard, that would be a great number for them to call, to be able to.
And of course, for emergency, they could use. The only issue might be if somebody else is already moored there.
Right.
One of the issues with Union Wharf that we're looking at fixing is the ship can't open the gate. That's why at 9 o'clock when the cruise ship comes,
we're down there.
We're down there opening the gate. So we'd have to have some kind of mechanism to have staff down there open the gate to offload it. Yeah. It's all workable.
Yeah, that was the problem with Maritime Center, too. We had to literally, take somebody up and over the railing on a backboard.
Right. Yeah. No gate.
Couldn't get the gate open.
Oh,
yeah, same thing. And it'd be nice. It's gonna happen again. They hit the tide rip. Somebody, is walking into something and they fall down. And it'd be nice to have some sort of a system where we could respond as a town, respond to a need of a ship, even if it's somebody else other than Clipper.
Yeah, because we're available to open that gate almost 24 hours. So there's a couple hour period where they're
from 5 to 8, peak comes on 8 o'clock.
Yeah, we're there more than just about anybody other than police, and all they would ever do is lose the key.
And I don't know if everybody's aware, but we have a 24 hour call service that can alert the proper staff person. Mm.
So Joe D'Amico's organization is an 800 line that goes right to him. He's got my home phone number, Larry's home phone number. And for different things, we're called at 2 in the morning all the time.
We've got a couple of folks that live just 1 minute from here.
Is there a call?
Like our finance director?
Our phone automatically rolls over to that.
So that number will be posted on the dock?
Yeah, there'll be signage.
Yeah, yeah, we're going to do signage.
Moving on to commissioner comments. Dave?
No comments.
Steve?
I don't have any comments.
I do. I wanted to give you a little follow-up on the Seattle Boat Show discussion with the Port Townsend Marine Trades Association. After they asked us and illustrated their degree of participation in the Seattle Boat Show, Larry went down and met with the NMTA people the very next day and asked them if the Port Townsend Marine Trades Association would be welcome in the Port of Port Townsend's booth to sell their goods and services out of our booth. And they said, well, that would make it very difficult to govern the entire boat show as to the discipline for renting a booth space. So they said no. And I passed that along to the Marine Trades Association, and they seriously considered looking into joining the Northwest Marine Trades Association a little harder.
And that was the NMTA's recommendation. Yeah. As a fellow voting association.
Right.
It's a, and they actually gave you a copy of their application form. I think it's 460.
It's not bad.
Yeah.
It's not bad.
And I was thinking, Sue and I were talking about it earlier today, that if they were to join as a member, if you want a booth, you got to sign up by August, mm-hmm. the exact date. We could lobby them to try to get two booth spaces
together. Right.
It might not be possible.
So I'm gonna make a formal report to the Port Townsend Marine Trades Association next Tuesday. And then they should be getting back to me and let me know about their further wishes and aligning with us to put a presence in the boat show. The only people I haven't talked to are PT Rigging, and I think they'd be interested in talking about it too, and I'll try to do that.
Well, PT Rigging has usually had their own booth.
Right, but they're very interested in having us in the boat show again. So I'll at least have the courtesy of informing them where we are on this issue.
I can see at the boat show they do. Like the rigging and the sailboat.
They're in a different location.
Are way over there too, yeah.
Yeah.
They put all them in one area.
Well, they are the ones that brought it up at the PSAC meeting, so I think it'd probably be wise to keep it blue. And then I was curious about the airport lawnmower. I know we bought a new lawnmower for the airport that had an enclosed cab and so forth, and it's not being used. And I was wondering what the tractor was right there, yeah.
I can certainly check on that.
Well, I was told that it was because we don't have a lawn mowing attachment for it.
Well, we have a 4-foot one. Larry Ozzie wants an 8-foot one.
Right.
4-foot one works because we have mowed the grass with it, but I don't know the particulars. I can check with
them. Someone I saw Laura out there adjacent to the runway.
Our goal was to sell our old John Deere, and we've listed it. We've advertised it on. How many times have we advertised that, John Deere? So we put
3 months.
The idea was to sell that, get the $12,000 out of John Deere and buy this mower.
And the eight foot mower costs $12,000?
So, but let me check with Larry and find out what's going on.
Well, and one thing I was going to suggest is perhaps we should consider reducing the price considerably on the tractor and getting out of it what we can in regards to helping finance a new lawnmower, but just to let the asset sit static seems like we could make a better move than that to me.
Well, so on that, are they using a different mower then?
I don't know. I wasn't aware. I thought they were using the 4-foot deck on the big tractor.
That's right.
I'll have to check.
Does the John Deere have a bigger deck?
No, that has the 4-foot.
So we only have the 1 4-foot. But it could attach to either the old mower.
Okay. It's just a PTO.
Okay.
Yeah. Doesn't she use that zero turn Kubota?
Not anymore. She used to. Well, she could be using that now. I don't know.
That's what I've seen her on this summer.
Well, yeah, right. But if you go down at the airports where I've seen her on the old John Deere, and the complaint was there that, you know, it's kicking up a lot of dust and debris. And so they got this nice new one with an enclosed cab and so forth. I just wondered why it wasn't being used.
The locomotives go around the hangars and fire hydrants and things like that.
I have no further comments. The next meeting or workshop will be Wednesday, July 10th, 2013 at 1, and a public workshop prior to that at 9:30 a.m. here. And at this time, we will adjourn this meeting into an executive session pursuant to RCW 42.30.110G, and it regards personnel. And that'll be a meeting for the commissioners only.
So, no. Yeah, estimated time.
Foremost.
And the attorney, yeah.
That's not where you're
headed. 20 minutes.
And is action anticipated?
You make any decisions.
There may be.
Yeah.
This meeting is adjourned.